Goedemorgen en hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power op deze prachtige zondagmorgen midden in de maand juni. En vandaag wordt het een hele bijzondere uitzending, want onze naaste staat centraal. En dat ga je in alle geledingen in dit programma merken. Het missiestatement van Hour of Power is: ken God, hou van mensen en dien je naaste wereldwijd. Nou, dat staat vandaag centraal. En als ik het over wereldwijd heb, dan ga ik naar Gerard van Salduinen. Je bent straks onze gast, Gerard. Hartelijk welkom. Je bent net terug uit Liberia. Wat heb je daar gedaan?
Ik heb samen met 450 andere vrijwilligers kinderen en volwassenen mogen helpen genezen van hun kaken- en gezichtsafwijkingen. En dat was allemaal gratis. En eigenlijk was er voor deze kinderen geen hoop geweest als wij daar niet naartoe hadden kunnen gaan.
Nou, je straalt helemaal, hè? Ja, dat is geweldig wat je doet met 450 anderen. En zo wordt er wereldwijd geholpen. Zie je bijvoorbeeld hoeveel mensen nu in Burma bezig zijn om die getroffen bevolking van een maand geleden te helpen. Maar Hour of Power Nederland blijft niet achter, want wij gaan ons inzetten voor de weeskinderen van China. Een prachtig project en dat in het kader van een prekenserie van dominee Schurer over het feit dat we achter China moeten staan en ook achter de christenen die dringend hulp nodig hebben. Maar ook mensen die daar in sociale en andere nood verkeren. En daarvoor zet de Christelijke Cathedral zich in. Zometeen zijn de Olympische Zomerspelen en de mensenrechten in China staan natuurlijk centraal. Maar Hour of Power, en dat is geweldig, zendt elke zondag uit in China. En dat is heel, heel, heel bijzonder. En vandaar dat we ons willen inzetten voor China, ook als Hour of Power Nederland. En we hebben een geweldig project, dat heet Hart voor Kinderen. In China zijn veel weeskinderen, die worden aan hun lot overgelaten. En die willen wij helpen. En daarover straks meer in deze uitzending van Hour of Power. Maar eerst naar de Crystal Cathedral. En nogmaals, deze zondag staat de naaste centraal.
Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power with Robert Schuller.
Welcome to the Christ Cathedral. You know, Jesus was very specific about his mission on earth. He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And that's why he brought us here today. He brought us here today to be able to shed his light and bring light to the darkest areas that penetrate your minds and your hearts. In your souls and your bodies. He came to bring light and to bring life, and that's why we're here to celebrate life. And so would you turn to the people who are standing next to you and behind you and shake their hands and say, God loves you. And I do too. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to be able to worship you. To be able to recognize that you are truly the light of the world. And as long as your light shines within us, we too can be used by you to make a positive impact in people's lives. And so let your light shine to the utmost and the utter ends of the earth. Amen.
Let's go. may be seated. Hear the words of the scripture. Rejoice in the Lord, all you good people. Praise from you is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Marvelous how the Church of Jesus, the synagogues, had services like we have. They had orchestras. They had choruses. One thing they didn't have were drums. And play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right. And all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord, and it's hard for us to keep remembering that in today's world. Keep looking for the goodness of the Lord. It's around us every hour of every day. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. This is the word of God.
Thank you.
That was Daryl Gardner on the trumpet. Thank you, Daryl. And thank you, choir. And thank you, of course, Don. Well, my guest today is the former owner of the Seattle Seahawks. He is a prosperous real estate developer and entrepreneur. In spite of his achieving great success in business, he wasn't fulfilled until he met Jesus Christ and actively began to give generously to those in need, which is where he found his true fulfillment in life. He now devotes his time to the Wheelchair Foundation, delivering wheelchairs to people in some of the remote parts of the world. In fact, Don and I recently went on a trip with him to Africa. In fact, I want you to look at the Jumbotron and get an idea of what he does. Take a look at this video.
Four years ago, Robert and I were invited by Ken Behring and the Wheelchair Foundation to go on a wheelchair distribution to several different countries, mostly on the continent of Africa. It was a real eye-opener. Yeah, it saddens the heart to realize the role of the disabled people in these cultures. They're forgotten. They're a forgotten part of society. There's people all over the world like this. Their parents and their loved ones can't do anything for them. And these people were carrying them around on their backs. It's a pretty bad situation. But the great news is we are making a difference. By partnering with Wheelchair Foundation, we are making a difference, a huge difference. Getting a wheelchair for these people, it means life, it means mobility, it means freedom. They can go to church, they can go from their bedroom to the outside their house, so they can have a social life, because some of these people have not been living. They've been simply existing. It's time for us to show them in a tangible way what it means to be a Christian. To go over there and to physically do something so we can show them we really love you.
Thank you.
We are the hands of Jesus Christ. When we grab that person and we put them in the chair, or we sponsor somebody with our financial giving, we are showing them that possibility thinking and faith in action means we're going to do something for you. As they were moved into mobility, into these great, beautiful wheelchairs, you could see the countenance on their face change. You could see them come alive. They just were so overwhelmed with gratitude, just so filled with joy. There's nothing more rewarding than to do something worthwhile, to see the joy in somebody else's eye, and to know that you've changed a life.
Would you please give a very warm welcome to Ken Behring? Ken, God loves you, and so do we.
Thank you, Ken.
You know, Donna and I have been extremely touched to be able to go with you and actually pick these children up and put them in a wheelchair. And tell us, how did the Wheelchair Foundation get started?
Well, it was a little bit by accident. I went through the life like everybody, living the American dream, trying to make money, being a success in business. And I had more than my share of success, and I finally got to the top of the mountain where there was nothing money could buy or nothing that material that I wanted. And the top of the mountain was barren. So I know that there's something else in life besides money and material things. So I started thinking, well, what's the purpose of my life? It's not making money, it's to help people. So I started by doing different things, taking things to Africa, school books, clothes, and it ended up that they asked me to take some meat to Kosovo refugees, and when I had my big airplane left from the Seahawks, so when I loaded, there was extra room, so they gave me some wheelchairs to drop off in Romania. So that was the first time I'd ever thought about a wheelchair. I'd never had anybody in one. But when I lifted that first man who had just had a stroke and his wife had just passed away, and he completely broke down as you picked him up and put him in the chair, said, now I can talk with my neighbors. I gave him a new life. And from there, we're now 750,000 chairs later, in 158 countries. I think, you know, the most important thing, at times I think I'm traveling too much, though I have to slow down. I can't be doing all this. In the middle of the night, I wake up and I see thousands of outreached arms of people like that in your film, without legs, saying, please help. There's so many, and unless we help these people, they're in a hut. They don't even get to see the sunshine. It's so little that we can do if you help us deliver a chair someplace in the world. And you're giving people hope. You're giving them, showing them that somebody really does care. And that's as important as getting a wheelchair, is knowing, yes, somebody does care. And now we have hope that maybe we can go back to school, go to church, become a useful person. So thank you.
Well, we are committed to buying as many wheelchairs as possible, because we believe that it's possible. I believe there's people here who can help us make this possible. In fact, we are going to make a commitment to give wheelchairs to people. We have to do that. It's imperative that we give back. And so we will.
Thank you.
And more specifically, last time you were here, I said, I want to give chairs in Africa.
Yes.
And we did. I want to give chairs now in China. And we will. And the reason I want to go to China is manyfold. I'll explain some of that later. But can you explain to us how much need there is in China?
Well, I've been going to China for about 7 years. I'm on the board of China Disabled Persons Federation, which takes care of all the disabled in China. We have 85 million members, either physically disabled, blind, deaf, or mental. 85 million that the country of China has not been able to help. They've spent their money on infrastructure and trying to get jobs. They came from, as you know, very communist into a capitalistic. And we've given several hundred thousand. I have partnerships in 58 cities in China. And I sure hope that you can go with us and we will give distributions in some of these cities. And at some point, I just wish a lot of your people that are here could go on a distribution. After you once lift a person up that's been in a hut and has never seen the sunshine, and take them this outside and put them in a chair. It's so simple to change a life. They need the hope that you're giving them.
Gives them some mobility, doesn't
right.
it?
And hope.
And hope, precisely, both.
Yeah.
And that's what's important. You know, people forget that once you get out of the main cities of China, that the majority of the population is still struggling.
900 million people in rural China that makes less than a dollar a day.
That's struggling. So we're very, very excited about partnering with you to make a difference in the continent of Asia, in reaching this country that really needs our help today. And so thank you, Ken. We're going to go. You know when we're going.
For the Paralympics. I was chairman of the U.S. Paralympics. Now I'm involved over there. This is all the disabled people, like, after the Olympics. And I think you will really enjoy it. These people become athletes. We give sport wheelchairs all over the world, too. And this one quick second. We went to Colombia, and we gave 100 sport wheelchairs to 100 young soldiers that had their legs blown off trying to prevent drugs from coming. Kids 17, 18, 19. We put them in these sport chairs, and they were running and racing. There's so much that we can do.
It goes on forever.
Thank you, Ken.
And okay. we're just very, very honored and thrilled to be able to partner with the Wheelchair Foundation to make a difference.
Okay.
And we're going to do it.
Okay.
We're going to do it.
Good.
Thank you, Ken.
Good.
Thank you.
Canberring. En zoals het zo mooi door hem wordt genoemd, Possibility Chairs for China. Weet je wat bijzonder is? Dat werkelijk in elk uithoek van de wereld, wereldwijd, mensen actief zijn om anderen in nood te helpen. Er zijn veel landen ter wereld die door oorlog, hongersnood of andere problemen getroffen worden. En een van die landen is Liberia. Jarenlang is de bevolking daar stelselmatig uitgemoord in een verschrikkelijke burgeroorlog. Er is bijna geen ziekenhuis meer dat functioneert. En aan de kade van de hoofdstad van Monrovia ligt daar dat prachtige schip Africa Mercy. En zoals ook in China wordt in Liberia geholpen door veel vrijwilligers. En Gera, jij bent er een van. Je hebt net al iets van verteld. We zien even de beelden van Africa Mercy. Wat mij fascineert, waarom stap jij iedere keer uit je werk in het ziekenhuis om onbetaald als vrijwilliger daar te gaan werken?
Ik denk dat dat toch God is die dat op mijn hart legt. En dat verlangen in mij aanwakkert om iets voor mijn medemens te doen. En wij hebben het hier zo goed. Ik heb zoveel te delen van mijn tijd en mijn energie en mijn financiële middelen. Ik kan het niet laten. Ik vind het geweldig om te doen en het bemoedigt mezelf ook.
Ja, vertel eens wat je in de afgelopen weken hebt gedaan.
De laatste 4 weken heb ik voornamelijk kaakplastische chirurgie gedaan. Dat houdt dus in tumoren aan het hoofd, kaak, hazenlipjes zoals wij het hier noemen, bij kindertjes, maar ook bij volwassenen die eerder niet de mogelijkheid hadden om geopereerd te worden.
Ik zie net zo'n beeld van zo'n vreselijke tumor.
Ja.
Dat is ongelooflijk.
Ja,
hè?
Ja.
Hoe komt dat?
Dat is toch een kwestie van tijd. Geen hulp, geen dokters, geen geld. Dus je kan er alleen maar mee blijven lopen. Totdat er eindelijk een keer hulp daagt. En dat is dat witte schip aan de haven, ja.
Dan staan er op de kade voor dat hospitaalschip elke dag lange, lange rijen met mensen, ouders, wanhopige ouders met doodzieke kinderen. Kinderen met open gehemeld, met klompvoetjes, gezwellen, noem maar op. Kun je inleven in dat leed? Kun je meehuilen met de moeders?
Ja, dat doet me verdriet, ja. En dat maakt me ook weer heel dankbaar dat ik ook een klein onderdeeltje mag zijn van de hulp die we daar bieden.
Ja, ja. Je krijgt tranen in je ogen.
Ja, het ontroert me steeds weer.
Ja, ja. 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 Nou geef jij je tijd, hè? Onbetaald verlof. Je betaalt zelf je ticket. Je krijgt geen cent vergoeding aan boord. Integendeel, je moet ervoor betalen. Je helpt, je dient je naasten. Wat krijg jij ervoor terug? Want je geeft veel.
Heel veel blijdschap en bemoediging. Als ik de mensen weer weg zie gaan met nieuwe hoop en voor een nieuwe toekomst, dan maakt dat mij ontzettend blij. En kan ik ook weer met nieuwe moed ook weer in mijn dagelijks leven verder.
Ja, want wat ben je in het dagelijks leven?
Ben ik operatieassistente.
Vind je het leuk?
Ja, geweldig werk. Ja. Ja, met heel veel plezier.
Ja, maar waar zou je liever zijn? Daar of hier?
Eigenlijk daar.
Ja, hè?
Ja. Ja, ja. Ja.
Nou, heb jij de stap gemaakt om wereldwijd je naasten te gaan helpen, wat vandaag ons thema is. Denk ik dat er heel veel mensen zijn die zeggen, ja, maar ik ben maar gewoon iemand, of ik ben geen verpleegster of geen operatiezuster. Voor mij is dat niet weggelegd. Misschien heb je dat zelf ook wel gedacht in het begin.
Ja, ik heb ook gedacht dat het niet voor mij zou kunnen zijn. Ik heb ook wel wat geduld moeten hebben voordat het zover was dat ik kon gaan. Maar als je niet kan gaan, kan je ook de mensen ondersteunen die wel gaan. En dat heb ik ook in de praktijk mogen ervaren. Dat er heel veel mensen om mijn gezin thuis zijn gaan staan. In gebed, in hulp, praktische hulp in de huishouding. Eten gekookt hebben voor mijn gezin. En mij ondersteund hebben, ook in gebed.
Ja.
En dat was zo bemoedigend om dat te ervaren. Ja. Dat mensen met mij meegingen naar Liberia.
Ja. Nou is het thema deze week in de Crystal Cathedral. Je kijkt naar de uitzendingen. Van God houden, van je naaste dienen. Wat vind je daarvan?
Ja, geweldig. Dat is ook onze opdracht, denk ik, in deze wereld.
Ja.
Om te zien naar de mensen die het zoveel minder goed hebben dan wij. Het kan je haast niet langs je heen laten gaan. Ja. Je moet het.
Wat voel jij als de opdracht van God?
Te delen van alles wat ik van hem gekregen heb. Daarvan te delen met de mensen die het zoveel minder goed getroffen hebben op deze aarde.
Ja. Nou houden wij een actie voor weeskinderen in China. Hart voor kinderen. Spreek je dat aan?
Ja, ik heb zelf ook 4 kinderen. Dus kinderen spreken mij ontzettend aan.
Ja. Ja. Want je hebt ze natuurlijk ook daar gezien, hè? Weeskinderen,
ja, heel veel weeskinderen
in,
ja.
In Afrika.
In de weekenden kregen wij ook de gelegenheid om weeshuizen te bezoeken. De kinderen aandacht te geven, met ze te spelen. Iets uit Gods woord te delen met ze. Dat was geweldig.
En wat ervaar je dan als je kinderen zonder ouders ziet, terwijl je zelf nog ouder
mag
zijn?
Ja, dat raakt je diep. Hè, om met 65 kinderen in een heel kaal huis te moeten wonen zonder de veilige armen van vaders en moeders. Ondanks dat de moeder van het weeshuis ontzettend haar best doet en prachtig werk doet, raakt dat heel diep. Als de kindertjes achter de jeep aanrennen, wanneer je vertrekt al zwaaiend, dan huil je.
Ja.
Ja.
Nu weer, hè? Ja. Ja. Het is toch mooi om zo bezig te mogen zijn, hè?
Ja.
Ja. Ik zeg wel eens, wij leven op een eiland van luxe in een oceaan van ellende.
Ja.
Maar als wij niet van dat eiland van luxe afkomen, dan gebeurt er ook niets. Dus Gerard, ik vind het prachtig wat je doet. Geweldig. Je bent voor ons een bemoediging en ook een uitdaging om datgene te doen wat van ons gevraagd wordt. Ik denk dat jij het al hebt ontdekt. Het is het nieuwe boek van dominee Schoele, van Robert Anthony.
Dankjewel.
Hey, heel fijn dat je hier was.
Graag gedaan.
Ja, en voordat wij teruggaan naar de Crystal Cathedral, de oproep om, we hoorden net van Gera wat het is om weeskinderen te ontmoeten. En wezen zijn er wereldwijd. En wij vragen uw actie als trouwe kijker van Hour of Power om ons project in China te ondersteunen. Je ziet het, je kunt wereldwijd helpen. Afrika, Azië, de nood is groot. Maar wij hebben gekozen in verband met de uitzendingen vanuit de Crystal Cathedral en die hulp die vanuit Amerika wordt geboden en onze uitzendingen in China, wat echt geweldig is, om kinderen die wees zijn te helpen. Een prachtig project wat door Hour of Power Nederland is opgestart en waar we van harte uw steun voor vragen. Hebben het net gezien, de tranen van Gera gezien, wat het is om weeskinderen echt in levende lijven te ontmoeten. Kinderen zonder ouders. Nou, bedenk je dat eens in en help ons om die kinderen te helpen. Van harte bedankt. We laten graag zien hoe dat kan.
Groeten uit China, dat klinkt als een gezellige vakantie. Maar het nieuws uit China is helemaal niet zo gezellig. Het land is geteisterd door aardbevingen en honderdduizenden mensen zijn getroffen en leven in angst en onzekerheid. Hour of Power wil op dit moment handen en voeten geven aan naastenliefde. Ze wil hulp bieden aan weeskinderen die zonder ouders verder moeten. Hour of Power wil met haar kinderfonds Hart voor Kinderen geld inzamelen voor het Daxing County Weeshuis, op een uur rijden van Peking. De lokale medewerkers hebben training en materialen nodig om voor de kinderen te kunnen zorgen, zodat hun wees weer kind mag zijn. Uw hulp is daarbij dringend nodig. Toon ook uw hart voor kinderen en maak nu een gift over op Giro 13800... ten name van Hour of Power Laren, onder vermelding van Weeskinderen China. Help mee, zodat een wees weer kind mag zijn. Voor meer informatie kunt u terecht op www.hartvoorkinderen.nl.
En zo heeft u kunnen zien hoe u de weeskinderen in China kunt helpen. En ons project is het Daxing Country Orphanage. En dat is een prachtig project waar veel weeskinderen worden geholpen. En we rekenen ook op u. En nou, als iedere kijker 1 euro zou geven, we hebben 25.000 euro in groot vertrouwen toegezegd, dan komt er vele malen binnen wat wij hopen over te maken naar dat weeshuis. Dus ik zou zeggen, doe mee, help de weeskinderen in China. En daarmee helpt u ook uzelf. En daar mogen we even over nadenken. Wij gaan naar de Crystal Cathedral en luisteren naar een geweldige preek van de jonge dominee Schuller.
You know, many people believe that my father was the founder of this church. And in many ways that's true, but the real foundation goes way back before him, actually. In fact, I want to give a little credit to my great uncle. That would be his mother's brother. My great uncle was a man by the name of Henry Beltman, and Henry Beltman was a missionary in China. And Henry Beltman came back from a furlough in China in the 30s. Saw my father, 5 years old, and he rustled his hair as he visited his sister and said, you're going to be a preacher when you grow up. And my father took that to heart and became a pastor. Well, today when I prepare for my sermons, I always pull out this book. It's called A Harmony of the Gospels. It's written by Kerr, K-E-R-R. It's a very simple book, actually. What it does is it puts the four Gospels side by side next to each other so you can see what, and it puts it in chronological order, so that if there's a text that I'm reading in out of the New Testament, that, or the Gospels specifically, I can look at all four of the Gospels side by side. This is given to me by my uncle Henry Beltman. It's got his signature in it, and it says 11/4/18. That's when he bought it. And he gave it to me when he passed away. He willed his entire library to me, so I have several hundred books from him. And this is just one of his books that I've inherited. My Uncle Henry, a missionary in China in the 30s, imprisoned, escaped, and found his way back to the United States. He's buried here on the cathedral campus. We have a tremendous history, and a long history, with China. It starts back before China closed its gates and closed its doors. And they remain completely closed from the Second World War up until 1978. That was a long time, decades. While the rest of the Western world was watching television and listening to radio and looking at magazines and understanding a completely different culture, China was closed, completely closed. Closed. 78, it changed like that. They developed a new constitution. They developed what they called the socialist capitalism, and they opened their doors. Within months, I got on an airplane and I went there. The doors were open and I went. And when I went to China for the very first time, it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen in my life. There were no hotels, no new hotels. The old hotels were taken out of mothballs, and literally the pillows and the sheets smelled like mothballs. I kid you not. I walked around those streets, and you would have thought that I was an alien from Mars. There was not a single colored piece of clothing that I saw on anyone in all of China. Not one. They had what was considered the Mao dress, which was a white shirt and black slacks. And the women had white blouses and black skirts. And that was the dress. There wasn't a single piece of colored clothing in the country. There weren't any cars. No cars. In fact, they had a car in the square where people could go, and it wasn't operating, people could go and sit in it and take their picture so they could show somebody that they actually sat in a real car. Can you believe it? And then I go walking down the streets of China. I'm a head taller than everybody else. I'm wearing a pink polo shirt, denim jeans, Levi's to be specific,
white Adidas tennis shoes. It's the 70s, the late 70s. So I've got my bling bling going. You know, I've got a gold cross that I'm wearing that would show above on my chest as I walked around. And you would have thought I was the Pied Piper. I looked behind me, and there would be 100 people following me down the streets. So I'd stop, and they would all gather around me and just gawk at me, stare at me, and I'd stick my hand out, and they would look at my hand and chuckle. And so I'd say, "Hello, anyone speak English?" And there was this sea of beautiful black hair. And suddenly out of the sea, I would hear this voice, "I speak a little English." I said, "Can I talk to you?" And you'd see this ripple come through the sea like a fish swimming up a still, calm lake. And all of a sudden, here would be this man or this woman, a young man or young woman, and I would talk to them. I'd say, "So you speak English?" "Yes, we study in the university." It was always the same answers, always the same questions. "Yes, we study in the university." And then they'd say, "So what do you do?" And I said, "Oh, I'm a teacher." "Oh, what do you teach?" "I teach about God." When I said that, their jaws dropped. "Teach about God? Are you kidding me?" They wouldn't say that, but that was the expression on their face. And then they'd say, "What's that around your neck?" And I said, "Oh, that's a cross. And it says, God loves you and so do I." And they'd laugh. And then they'd ask me about God, because I'm a teacher of God, and they haven't had any. They haven't heard about God. They didn't know God exists, basically. But they did in their hearts. And what I would do is I would lead them through a pamphlet that was written by Bill Bright in 1965. He's the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. And I would sit there and just open up the pages, and they'd read it word for word. And I remember one night I had my flashlight out, and underneath the flashlight, we're reading the pages, or they're reading the pages, and they get to this point where it says, "If you'd like to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can pray this prayer right now." And they said, "Can we do that?" I said, "Sure. We can pray here?" And I said, "Yes. There's no reason not to." And I led them in a prayer, and they accepted Jesus Christ, and it was the same thing everywhere I went. A hunger and a thirst to know God, to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, and to begin a journey living with Christ. And then I'd give them one of the little pocket New Testaments that I brought with me. And that was my time in China. What seeds were planted? What has been the harvest of planting those seeds? Here you have some of the most intelligent minds in China, those who have studied English, those who are in the university, coming to a full knowledge of who Jesus is, accepting Jesus as the personal Lord and Savior. And what happened to those young men and women? That was 30 years ago. And from that time to this moment, I have been praying that God would open the doors to China, that we could continue to minister and share the good news of Jesus Christ with this country who has been closed from Western civilization, who has a pure understanding and realization that there is a God, because that is an instinctual reality within the human spirit. And they want to know who Jesus is. But they don't even know it. How can we reach this country? When my father started this ministry, he invited Dr. Norman Vincent Peale to come. And when Norman Vincent Peale came, he ignited this place with a positive energy. He had written the book, The Power of Positive Thinking, one of the greatest selling books of all time at that time. And he came and he spoke. And my father got excited with the idea of positive thinking and how important it is to think positive thoughts, because until you can think positive thoughts, you can never really acquire the gifts and the skills that God has for you.
positive thinking is a foundation. But this thought came to him, that's not enough. We need to go further. And he wrote The Power of Possibility Thinking. And possibility thinking is where we fill our minds with positive thoughts so we can think of the opportunities that God has created for us to do positive things. What I want to do is take those positive things and put them into positive action. And today I'm challenging and incorporating and really encouraging all of us to partner together to make a difference in China in a huge, powerful way. Because my father's teaching is possibility thinking, he has been invited to China numerous times to speak and to teach. About what? Possibility thinking. And he's plowed the fields. And the seeds have been sown. And it is time for us to reach out to this country and make a difference. Today we are reaching 180 million people a week in southern China with the Hour of Power. Today we are reaching out to that country and we want to reach the rest of the country. That's only about 15% of the country. It sounds like a lot, but it's only 15% of the country. And we can reach the entire country with Jesus Christ's gospel and good news as we continue to share with them that we care. How do we do that? First of all, we're going to give wheelchairs. But these chairs are going to be have a different title on them. They're not going to be, we're not going to call these things wheelchairs. Can you see that sticker? It says Wheelchair Foundation. The chairs we give away are going to say Possibility Chairs. You like that idea? Possibility Chairs. And that's because we are giving the individuals new possibilities, new hope, and a new drive in life. We're going to give these chairs away. That's just step one. We're going to continue to a whole mentoring program. The children of migrant workers in China are in desperate situations of education. And we have the opportunity to help the exceptional middle school students to help them acquire what they need to go on to high school and make a difference in their family, because we educate one and that starts the ball rolling to help the whole family. So we're going to do that. We're going to bring light into the dark huts that don't have light so they can read at night. We're going to provide clean, safe drinking water for families. Truly, I believe that God honors a commitment. When you do something that you know you need to do, that God has called you to do, and you make that commitment, God provides the way. I know that God's going to provide the way today because, first of all, we're just doing what he told us to do. In Matthew, Jesus shares with us, calls himself the king. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothing and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came and visited me." And they all said, "When did we do these things, Lord?" And he said, "When you did it to the least of these, you did it to me." That's what God has called us to do. To reach out to those who are hungry, thirsty, those who need clothing, who are sick and imprisoned. He wants us to reach out to the strangers that we have never met and give them a hand. And the greatest hand we can give them is hope. Hope for a future that has potential. Hope for eternity that's going to make a huge impact in their lives. That's what I'm challenged to do today, and I'm asking you to join me in this challenge. And I'm asking you today to support this, to support me as we move forward and make a difference in reaching into a country today that is ripe
for harvest. It's ripe. The time is now. Dear Heavenly Father, you truly are a God with infinite possibilities. We cannot even begin to imagine how we can reach the people that need to be reached today, but we know that with you all things are possible. So, Lord, as we respond to your will, give us the faith. So we thank you, God, for this opportunity. We love you, Lord. Amen. May the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit touch your hearts, your minds, and your souls with the reality of His goodness. And may you have the faith and the dedication to serve the least of these. Amen.
Een geweldige uitzending van Hour of Power. Als ik het even afrond, dan stond naaste liefde en houden van die ander centraal. En het grote gebod van God is, heb je naaste lief als jezelf. Als je niet van jezelf kunt houden, kun je ook echt niet van je naaste houden. Een uitspraak om over na te denken, naast die van dominee Schuller. Wat je voor de minste van mijn broeders hebt gedaan, heb je voor mij gedaan. En zo hebben we allemaal een taak en een opdracht in deze grote, wijde, mooie wereld die God gemaakt heeft. En ik wens u en jou vandaag heel veel vreugde toe als je erop uittrekt of gaat genieten van de natuur. Een mooie week en als je werkt een fijne week om te werken en weet dat je met het geld wat je krijgt ook vele mooie dingen kunt doen. Dat heb je gehoord. En daarmee neem ik van harte afscheid. Graag tot volgende week. En dan hebben we een bijzondere Nederlander, namelijk Rob de Nijs, die zijn jubileum viert en die ook een kijker is van Hour of Power. Graag tot volgende week bij Hour of Power.